we can go ahead and do a little catechism class here. We're running a few minutes late, but we'll just say a prayer. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. St. Vincent Ferrer, St. Jude, Lady of Victory, Lady of Sorrows, Lady Help of Christians, St. Ignatius, the Father, and the Holy Ghost, amen. And then here, just be brief here on this section, that they'll just continue through the beginning of the My Catholic Faith here, the public life. Last time, the hidden life of our Lord, 30 years. And then here, the public life of our Lord. And then just some of the basic facts that all Catholics should, of course, know concerning the public life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the first, of course, is that he began his work when he was 30 years old. And St. Thomas says that, you know, like I mentioned before, that his hidden life should go to the time of perfection. Since he was going to do the most perfect work, that he should wait until he had reached the perfect age before he began his perfect work. And that's why St. Thomas says that Christ waited until he was 30 years old to begin his work, 30 being the perfect age. And so he begins his perfect work at his perfect age. So he waited and to 30 years old to begin his work, and to show that Jesus Christ is a true man. And in his divinity, he could have begun his public ministry from the moment of his conception or the moment of his birth. And he could have performed the same miracles and walked around and did all the same things that he did. But that would not be the human way of doing things, because man does not do his work until he is in the height of his manhood. And therefore, Jesus Christ, to respect the humanity that he took unto himself, waited until the height of his humanity to begin his perfect work, which is the ultimately, of course, the redemption of mankind. But in the beginning, the 3 years of the public ministry, and the 3 years of the public ministry, from when Christ was 30 to 33, of course, the official beginning of that is the baptism of St. John, when he was baptized by St. John the Baptist. And that beginning is the sanctification of the waters of baptism, and it lays the foundation. It's the first act of the preparing of the church. What Jesus Christ is doing during his 3.5 years of his public ministry is he's building the Catholic Church. He is coming to die on the earth, die on the cross. I think it was St. Jerome that says that if he only wanted to die for our sins so that we could go to heaven, he would have come down to earth on Good Friday, died on the cross, and then went back to heaven. But he came down to earth not only to die for our sins, but to leave for us his mystical body. Not only his physical body, which is in the Blessed Sacrament, but he wanted to leave behind his mystical body, which was the church, and that would be the means to bring us to heaven. In order to do that, he would have to prepare men to be the leaders of that church and to be the members of that church. That takes time. It doesn't take time for God, but it does take time for men. And that's why he devotes 3.5 years. He waits until he's 30 years old, and then he devotes 3.5 years to teaching. Teaching is what's obviously the most important part of formation, to form anyone from childhood to adulthood, or to form for any kind of occupation. It requires teaching. And the purpose of the teaching is to produce something in the student, so that when he leaves the teacher, he will be able to live according to what is taught. And so Christ, the teacher, during the 3.5 years, is preparing his apostles, firstly, in order to be the founders of the church. And his public ministry, in a certain way, is not really completed until Pentecost Sunday. Even though we say that at the Passion, his public ministry ceases, but really, in a certain way, his public ministry didn't cease until Pentecost Sunday. And then on that day, the church was born, and his mystical body began to take over where his physical body, so to speak, leaves off. And then also against the Protestants, Bishop Sheen points out, he says that some of the enemies of the church say that, why do I need to go to confession to a man? Why do I need to get baptized by a man? Why do I need to be taught by a man? Because I can go directly to God. And then Bishop Sheen responds by saying, God uses instruments. For instance, God, the divinity of God, the Son, used the instrument of the mouth of Jesus Christ to speak his words. That's an instrument. He didn't go directly into the mind of the apostles. He used the words of Christ. When he performed his miracles, he picked up mud and put it in the ears of the man who was deaf. He used the instrument of mud. He used the instrument of his hands. He used the instrument of his mouth and the instrument of his feet. He didn't have to travel between Galilee and Samaria and Judea. He could simply act directly. If God wished to act directly, then he would not have become man. So no one goes directly to God by saying they hear through Jesus Christ, but God uses man in order to get man to God. First, the instrumentality of the human nature of Jesus Christ. That's a real man just like myself. His humanity is no different than mine. And God chose to use that humanity in order to teach, to sanctify, and to rule. He then laid the foundation for other humanities, that is the 12 apostles, to carry his divinity to the world after his death. And so these 12 apostles, he had to give the power, and he had to visibly give the power to them. So during the 3.5 years, it was important not only that Christ taught the 12 apostles, but that it was known to the people, those are his 12 closest buddies, and we're not in that group. He goes off with them at night and gives them special talks. They go wherever he goes. We can't go. These 12 apostles travel from place to place to place with him. We have to wait until the next time he comes back. And so there's a very human recognition amongst the people. Those 12 guys know more about Jesus Christ than I do. And then there's 72 guys that are around them, the disciples, and they go in front in order to prepare the way that Christ is coming. And they're not as close as the 12, but they're pretty close, and they're more important than I am. And then there's a few holy women that travel around with him. And that's it. We are not part of that group. So that the foundations of ecclesiastical life are laid by Jesus Christ's personal behavior during his 3.5 years. And we can point all of the pieces of the Catholic Church to his public life. So the most important part of his public life is his preparation of the church. If you just wanted to die on the cross, our sins are redeemed, we go to heaven. But he didn't want to just do that. He wanted to save us through the instrumentality of the church, which he spent 3.5 years building. 12 apostles, 72 disciples, the holy women, other men that probably helped out in different ways, and then the common people. And there's the hierarchy of the church. Peter, the Pope, the other 11 apostles, the bishops, the 72 disciples, the priests, the holy women, the various sisters and nuns, and so on, the active orders, Martha, the contemplative orders, Mary Magdalene. And so all of the work of the church is prepared by Jesus Christ during his public ministry. And the saints all go back to it. They all go back to it. And to the life of Christ. We are simply living in the church in an ecclesiastical way, what Christ did in a physical way during his 3.5 years. It's the same body. The physical body acted a certain way during 3.5 years. The mystical body acts in the same way during the next 2,000 years, complete with condemnation of heretics. Our Lord says it in the gospel, if I told you I didn't know the Father, I would be like unto you a liar. He also says in his teaching, if you are the sons of Abraham, do the works of Abraham. And the Catholic Church imitates the words of Jesus Christ by saying, if any man says that the Blessed Virgin Mary is not immaculately conceived, let him be anathema. And if you say you're a follower of our Lord, you must follow His gospel, follow His teaching morally and not only doctrinally. And everything that we say comes from the teachings of Christ. It is the Catholic Church alone that can point every one of its teachings back to the Bible. You know, the Protestants all claim to be the Bible-believing people. They believe in the cover of the book. We believe what's on the inside. They think that by carrying this little black book around and not believing what's on the inside, they're saved. We believe that the words of the Bible must be lived and believed inside of my life in order to be saved. And that means listening to Peter and being with the other apostles, the bishops, and so on. And all these things are contained clearly in the gospel. The confession is found in John chapter 21. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Then whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. Baptism, the baptism of our Lord and St. Matthew. Every one of the sacraments is contained in the gospels. And then we live out those sacraments in our church. His teaching is important. He says, what is Christ's aim during His public ministry? Christ's aim in His public life is to teach what God requires for all to believe and practice to enter the kingdom of heaven. And also, it is interesting, the first words of our Lord, the very first words recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew of our Lord, the kingdom of heaven is upon you. He preached the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a passage used hundreds of times in the Gospel of St. Matthew. And the kingdom of heaven refers to the Catholic Church. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a mustard seed, like unto a sower that went out to sow seed in a field. And there was good seed, some seed fell among good ground, some fell among the various kinds of bad ground. And it's very clear in the Gospel of St. Matthew, kingdom of heaven is what Christ came to do. To preach the kingdom of heaven, to bring the kingdom of heaven amongst us. And the kingdom of heaven is not the beatific vision, being in the presence of God forever. Because the kingdom of heaven that Christ speaks about has Judas in it. It has weeds and wheat. It has all kinds of things, both the good and the bad. And this kingdom of heaven, therefore, is the kingdom of heaven on earth, the Catholic Church, the mystical body of Christ. So, I mean, the essential thing to say concerning this public life of our Lord is that He had to teach His doctrine and lay the foundations of His church. What do we say about what's the chief teaching about the Catholic Church you learn in the Catechism? The chief teaching about the Catholic Church is that it was founded by Jesus Christ. He founded it during these 3.5 years. And we are the living continuation of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only reason why He walked around for 3.5 years before His crucifixion. To prepare the apostles so that when the crucifixion was complete and when the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost, all the things that He taught them would become understood. They didn't understand them before that day, but they would become understood, and then they would go out and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I mean, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the very first words, I bring the kingdom of heaven amongst you. The very last words, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, going therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The last words our Lord spoke before He went into heaven. Well, who can baptize? Only the priest. Who can teach? Only the priest. He prepared them so that they would go out and teach. Why would He prepare these apostles to teach until the end of the world so that everyone could learn on their own? So that, according to the Protestant belief, our Lord was exceedingly incompetent. Because as long as He was around, He needed 12 apostles to help people understand what He was trying to say. But then as soon as He died and went into heaven, well, He didn't need any help anymore. People just figured it out on their own. And if you really believe that, you can go directly to Jesus Christ without going through those apostles and through those disciples. Then you believe, by consequence, that our Lord was incompetent. Why did He need 12 apostles to help Him explain things? He didn't. He didn't need 12 apostles to help him perform miracles. He didn't need 12 apostles to help him teach his words. He didn't need 12 apostles to be his closest buddies because he felt alone, because he was with the Father and the Holy Ghost, and they're pretty good company. The only reason why he founded those 12 apostles and lived his public ministry was to prepare us to accept the fact that we have to learn from those 12 guys and from those 72 guys. The apostles, which became the bishops of the church, and the disciples, which became the priests of the church. Public ministry lays the foundation. And it also explains why the chief way that the Catholic Church spreads its doctrine is through sermons on Sundays. What do? We read a passage of the gospel. You stand during that gospel. Because you stand at attention to listen to the words of the gospel. But when you hear the words of the gospels, you sit down and say, "What the heck did that mean?" And then the priest tells you what it means, and listening to what the priest says, you go out and live the gospel. That's how it works. And it doesn't work another way. We read the gospel, you are befuddled. You sit down. We explain the gospel. You go out and live it. That's the way that God wanted it to be. And it's very much to close here. But that, one thing that's important to note is our Lord himself explicitly says it in the gospel. He says, remember in the parable of the sower that went out to sow seeds, and they fell on four different kinds of ground. He spoke the long sermon. And then that night, the apostles said, "What on earth did you mean?" And our Lord said to the apostles, "I will explain to you what it means, but not to them. For seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand. It is given for you to understand, but not them." That's what our Lord said to the apostles. He preached this long sermon that was incomprehensible to the people. He did not explain it to the people. He waited until that night, and then he explained it to the apostles, and he told the apostles that after I die, after I've gone up into this heaven, then you explain it. And we see it several times in the gospel. Remember the transfiguration. Peter, James, and John see Moses and Elias with our Lord. What does he say? Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. There are many cases in the gospel where our Lord does not allow the people to understand. John chapter 6 is another great example. "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have life in you." What do you mean? "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have life." What does that mean? "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't have life." Accept it or leave. And they left. Every one of them left, except for the apostles. And our Lord turned to them and said, "Will you leave me also?" He explained to the apostles what that meant at the Last Supper. And then they explained to us what it means. And we understand what Christ taught by his own divine dispensation only because saints and apostles have told us what he means. No St. Thomas Aquinas, no Pope, no Catholic a father of the church, no doctor of the church means we will never have any idea what the gospel is about. We know through their mouths. Through the mouths of those who have been sent, says St. Paul in the Romans chapter 10. Those who have been sent. Christ prepared the senders during those 3.5 years. Then when they were ready, even though they didn't know they were ready, he died. Then the Holy Ghost came, and he sent them out into the world. And that's the simple history of the public ministry of our Lord. And then I'll close it at that. We'll hear the confessions here in a little bit. But we'll go ahead and close with a prayer here so we can stand up and say a prayer. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. St. Vincent Ferrer. St. Jude, Lady of Victory, Lady of Sorrows, Lady of Help of Christians, St. St. Ignatius, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Amen.